Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a good friend and a veteran in the business, Brandy McKnight. Brandy has been in the business for 17 years, and she crushes it in her small town of Brobridge, Louisiana. Welcome to the podcast, Brandy.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming out to St. Martin Parish to visit with me today.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. So we are sitting in Brandy's office, which is an old home, and we're going to share some pictures on our social media. So I can't wait for you guys to see kind of where we're sitting, because we're sitting right along the banks of the Bayou Teche in historic Brobridge, Louisiana, and sitting at a table that was made for her, a Cypress table. So it's amazing. So we're going to share a couple of pictures on our social media. So I can't wait for you guys to see that. So Brandy, tell us how you got into the real estate business.
I've always been really, really interested in real estate. And right out of high school, I shared with my parents that I was going to become a realtor. And my dad said, no problem, but first you're going to finish college.
Right.
And my mom said, no, that's crazy. You need to get a real job. And I said, it is a real job, but a promise is a promise. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to finish. And then I'm going to become a realtor. So halfway through college, I lost my dad really young. And I said, I don't know if that promise still counts. But my uncles quickly reminded me, a promise is a promise. You must finish college. So I finished college. And upon finishing college, I decided I was going to real estate school.
Right.
And once again, I let people talk me out of it. And I took a job and I worked in a dental practice for 10 years. And a patient of mine came in. She was a realtor, Elisa Melanson.
Okay.
She worked for Coal Banker Pelican at the time. This lady was phenomenal. She was well known in the real estate industry. And she just randomly said one day, I think you need to be a realtor. And I went, I think I need to be a realtor too.
I've been thinking that for a long time.
I've been thinking about that for the last 10 years. And it was a few weeks later, my boss came to me and said, I have some bad news. And I said, what's the news? And he said, I'm ready to retire. And I said, that's the best news I've heard ever. Like, that's the greatest news.
Right.
Congratulations. I'm taking off 2 weeks for vacation and I'm going to real estate school.
Nice.
So he supported me in that decision. I went ahead, went to real estate school, finished the course quickly, promised him I would stay during the transition for the new doctor to come in to the practice. I fulfilled that promise too. And then cold turkey, jumped into real estate, both
nice.
Feet, no job.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So started at the dental practice.
Yes.
And then jumped right into real estate.
Yes, but the dental practice wasn't my first actual job.
What was the first job?
So my dad owned a little service station in Brobridge, and I used to pump gas there for him. I'd pump gas, we'd clean people's windshields. It was a full service station. Geez, I was probably working for a quarter an hour, and
nice.
I would use the change I would get and buy bubble gum out of his bubble gum machine in the lobby.
Right.
So I really didn't make a whole lot, but I'd learned a lot watching my dad interact with his patrons. Like, I learned
right.
so much in that gas station. It was crazy.
Right, right. You learned a lot about service.
I learned a lot about service. I learned a lot about community. And really, that community became a second family to us. So I think that's where my love for Brobridge started.
Right.
This parish is so special. People say all the time, how can you sell real estate just in that little small town? And I tell them, because why would someone ever want to live somewhere else?
Right.
Like, it is the best place to raise a family. Community runs so deep here. And I truly love this place.
Nice. And you can tell. You can definitely tell.
It's just my place. I love it so much.
Nice, nice. They've got a lot going on. And St. Martin Parish is actually one of the highest and fastest growing parishes in our regional area. I think it was one of the only parishes that increased
that
in
growth.
Value, that had growth
yes.
over the last couple of years. So that's cool. That says something about Brobridge. But they also have a great mayor. And one of my best friends, she's
yes.
had her dad's a mayor.
Claire?
Yeah, Claire.
Yes.
So she's awesome. And Brobridge
mayor
has got,
Colley,
such, a, got
yes.
a, such a great thing going on. And he does so much for the community.
He's been very progressive. He's been running our community like a business. and the town's prospering. We have a lot of good things happening here. We also have people like Jenny Stelly over at SMETA, the St. Martin Economic Development Group, and she's just kicking it into high gear.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. That's awesome. So obviously you love where you come from and you love where you are. You had a very, very difficult struggle recently, right?
I did.
So share with us a little bit about that struggle, because some agents know about it, but others don't.
Yeah. So some people call it a struggle. I call it a blessing. I was working with a client, and we were trying to sell her house, and it was a very unique house in Brobridge, and I knew immediately after we sold her house, I needed to find her another place to live.
Right.
And so we put her house under contract, and she comes to me and says, I found a house. And I said, okay, where is it? She said, it's your house. I want your house.
Right.
And I said, I'm not ready to sell my house. Like, no.
Right.
She said, I'm going to buy your house. And she was adamant that she was going to buy my house. And she gave me a list of reasons why it was the perfect house for her. And what she didn't know is I met with her husband before he passed away, and he really wanted to make a move, but it would have been very difficult for him to move at that time.
Right.
And he said, promise me, and you know I'm going to fulfill anyone's promise.
Right.
He said, promise me if I go before my wife, you're going to put her in a safe place.
Right.
So I reflected on that conversation, and I knew my house was probably the best place for her.
Right.
I sold the house to her. She moved on in. The next Monday, I was extremely exhausted from moving all weekend.
And
I went for a routine mammogram, and I could see it on the x-ray tech's face. The minute I had the mammogram, something wasn't right.
Gotcha.
And so the very next day, I was with some fellow agents. We were at lunch, and I got a phone call from the doctor saying, I need you to come back to my office. Please don't come alone.
Oh, damn.
And I knew. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't. I just was not surprised. So I, of course, went to his office alone. I didn't want to disturb my family. We were playing. My son was playing high school football. And we were playing our rival school, Cecilia High School.
Right.
And my kid was playing. So I wasn't going to disturb my family. I get to the football game, and my mom had invited our entire family. She was so proud her grandson was playing football.
Right.
The whole family was there, and I sat through that entire game.
Wow.
Knowing I had cancer, and I just kept my mouth shut, and I just waited for them to leave. I got in my car to pick up my son at the high school. They had to ride the bus back. And I called my mom on the way there, and I told her the news, and she was really quiet for a bit. And then she said, I think they're wrong. And I said, no, they're not wrong.
Right.
And I'm going to tell Anthony. And she said, he's too young. Please don't tell him. I said, I'm going to tell him.
Right.
Because I knew my dad was sick when my dad was sick, but I didn't know the depth of it
until
it was too late. And I promised I was not going to do that to my son. So I immediately told my child, and the rest is kind of history. I immediately had surgery to remove the cancer. We sent that away for testing. It was a fast spreading aggressive cancer. So I went right back into surgery, had a Metaport put in
right
during COVID alone, and started chemotherapy the next day. So I did several months of chemotherapy followed by radiation. And it was tough, but I really, really reflect back on that experience as a blessing. I learned so much those couple of years that I was going through that. I'm still having infusions and treatments. I'm still dealing with the side effects of cancer, but I'm better. I'm a better person for having cancer, for sure.
That's
for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So expand on that a little bit for us too, because I know your mindset, and we chatted before, is just amazing. You know, you don't look at this as something like that is a negative. You look at it as something that is potentially a positive for your life.
Yeah. I feel like being very vocal, I immediately told all my clients, hey, I'm sick. At that point in my career, I was carrying about 50 listings at once. And I'm kind of a one-girl show. I don't have anybody that works with me. I don't have a showing agent or an assistant
right
or a transaction coordinator. And I just kept telling myself, you know, this could go two ways. It could go the way you want it to go, or you can, it could go the way that you don't want it to go, and you need to decide that. So I was very vocal. I told everybody I was sick. I immediately had conversations with my clients, very open. I announced it on social media so everyone knew.
Right.
This community, again, this community is a family. I had people dropping off food. Everybody kind of rallied around me. People say, I like to suffer in silence. Well, that's crazy. You know, you need to be vocal, because until you speak up, you don't know how many people really care about you.
Yeah, give them the opportunity.
Yeah, and I knew if I could keep two of these three things under control, that I would be fine. Okay, I want to talk about those three things. So those three things were my mental health, my emotional well-being, and also my physical well-being.
Okay.
I knew physically I was in for the ride of my life, that chemo would not be easy on my body. I was not taking very good care of myself before I found out I had cancer. I was overworked. I was very stressed. I remember working so hard that I'd fall asleep on the couch with my laptop in my lap and my shoes still on.
Right.
And I'd wake up the next morning and say, well, geez, you never went to bed, you know? So I knew physically I was not taking good care of myself. So I told myself very early on, you know, you better nurture your mental health, and emotionally, you better be ready to fight.
Yeah.
And I was. And look, some days the physical wasn't so bad and the emotions were running high, but mentally, that never, my mental state never for one second failed me. I was determined to hurry up and be done with chemotherapy and move on. And I was also determined to work right through it, to the point that I would not just be surviving, that I would be thriving.
Right.
So I set a very unrealistic goal for myself that year. I said I wanted to do 100 transactions. I wanted to change 100 people's lives while I was sick.
Wow.
And I was determined, and I just decided no matter what, I would put one of the three in my pocket until that one was okay, and I would roll with two of them. And I remember doing inspections laying on the ground. I remember having to have people drive me because I couldn't see anything.
Right.
My eyesight was failing. After my first round of chemo, I came home and I was sitting on the couch, and a fellow agent called me and said, you're not going to believe this. My e-key isn't working. Any chance you're in Brobridge? And I said, I am. I'm in Brobridge. He said, do you mind coming and lock this house for me and my client? And I said, I don't mind at all. So when I got there, he said, what's all that on your chest? And I said, I just left chemo. He said, are you crazy? I said, a little bit. Yeah,
yes.
But I'm fine. Like, I'm fine. Let's get your client in this house. And the funny thing is, the house did not work for his client. But a few weeks later, I had a client call me about that house. And I said, it's so cute. I know what it looks like. I've been to that house before. And I ended up selling that house to a client of mine.
Wow.
So I always think about that little house and that first day of chemo. You know, I knew that first day, as long as I kept my head straight, it was going to be a long road of hope, but I was going to get through it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
I love your mindset through it, because you could have looked at that as a poor me and, you know.
Never.
But you never took that mindset, and you know, you were able to. So how did you do on your goal?
So I made it.
Nice.
I sold 100 properties that year. I ended up accomplishing that at the very end of the year.
Nice.
I had people rooting me on. Every once in a while, people would say, what number are you on? And I'd say, I'm on 89, or I'm on number 90. 10
nice.
More to go. Help me. Who
right.
do you know wants to buy or sell real estate?
Right.
I need help.
Right.
And people would send me messages. I don't know how you're feeling today, but I was at the grocery store and I overheard someone say that they were looking for a house. I got their number for you.
Nice.
And I'd say, send it over. I'm going to call them.
Right.
You know, and people were very patient with me. Clients would call and say, how are you today? And I'd say, I'm not good today.
Right.
But I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
You know, one more day of sickness means one day closer to being healthy. So I'm just counting down the days.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. You're so awesome. And you know, I remember kind of, you know, you leveling up every year and seeing your progression. And it's just so crazy that you were able to do that through the midst of what you had going on physically.
I was determined. I was so determined. And, you know, 1 in 8 women will suffer from breast cancer. And I think that this has given me a platform to let people know it's okay to be sick. It's okay to share that with others. And so many realtors that had breast cancer before reached out to me, you know, and people don't want to talk about things like that. But I feel like our community of realtors, they're not afraid to have the tough conversations. They would call and check on me. I had agents tell me that their whole office prayed for me.
Nice.
At their office meeting. Like, how touching is that?
Yeah.
And then I'd have random agents that I don't really even know call me. And, you know, I'd have a conversation with them, and they would say things like, you don't sound like you're feeling good. I'm like, oh, I'm not.
Let
me
share terrible.
With you what's going on.
Yeah.
And they would call back to check on me. And they would say, hey, can we pray together right now? And I said, oh my goodness. And some of these agents, I have yet to meet them face to face.
Wow.
Yeah, but they were rooting me along too.
Yeah. So even too, if you're listening to this podcast and you have a struggle that you're going through similarly, and you want somebody to give you a little encouragement.
Oh, reach out.
We're going to put Brandy's contact information
in the podcast.
So we want to be a tool to agents, and we want to be of service to them. And if you can be of any encouragement to agents, I know you would be open to that.
Absolutely. I have a lot of clients that'll call and say, I know it's kind of personal, but I'm going through the same thing right now. Can we talk about it?
Right.
And I tell them, I'm an open book. What do you need to know?
Right.
You know, what do you need to know? Because I went into having cancer very blindly, and it was very lonely. With COVID being in full effect, it was the matter of being dropped off at a hospital alone, having surgery, being wheeled down and put in a vehicle and taken home. And chemo, you know, you're sitting in a room of strangers, and it was still comforting because all these people were going through something.
Right.
You know, and I remember one day I went for chemo. It was my second chemo treatment. And at that point, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew more than the elderly gentleman sitting next to me having his first round of chemo.
Right.
He started asking me questions, and he said, does it hurt when they put that needle in your port? And I said, well, you didn't numb yours? And he said, no. What am I supposed to do? And I said, oh, Pops, hold on. I have some numbing cream.
Right.
So we put it on him, and he asked me to wait with him because his wife couldn't come in.
Right.
And she was in the car in the parking garage waiting for him.
Wow.
And he asked me to wait with him while they put the connection into his port. And I did. And apparently we were on the same chemo schedule because when I came back 4 weeks later, he was sitting right next to me having his next treatment too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So God opened up so many doors for you, and even put that person in your life to be there as a support for you for what you got going on.
And look, the people at the Cancer Center of Acadiana, those are some amazing human beings. I never felt alone there, ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So obviously there's no great way to transition from what you had going on to maybe trying to encourage some agents. So, you know, part of the podcast also is sharing of what we know as realtors and the success that we have and things that we're doing that can help other realtors. So, you know, share some of the things that you do with realtors to kind of stay front of mind with your clients, and share maybe some of those things you did that year that allowed you to stay in front of people.
Well, I was really adamant about giving weekly updates. I would get on Facebook and I would just, you know, tell people where I was in my journey. I would assure them that I was still working and that I could still get the job done. And my clients really, you know, they would even call and say, I need to see a house. It's kind of late. You're probably not feeling great. And I'm like, pick me up. I'm in my PJs. And I still get a giggle. You know, my clients would show up in their slippers saying, we didn't want you to feel alone. And we just kind of toughed our way through it. This small town, we drink a lot of coffee.
Right.
So there are a lot of cups of coffee shared across tables. I do a lot of work with people who have lost family members, succession properties where there's a lot of siblings involved.
Right.
You know, I have some clients that, of course, do not use email. They don't have email. They don't have computers. It's still a small town. My office giggles that a lot of my listing agreements and contracts are still handwritten on the hood of a car.
Right.
So that's kind of unique. I'm very old school in that respect. Some people just want to text all day long, and that's not who I am.
Right.
I'll pop in on somebody just like that. If I see you in your yard pulling weeds, I'm going to roll up on you and have a conversation with you.
Right. So tell us about that too, because that was one thing that you do well too, is you do what do you call it? Pop buys, not Popeyes, right?
I call it pop buys. Although Popeyes
is delicious.
Great biscuits, but I call it pop buys, where I just pop in on my clients. I'll bring them silly little gifts just to let them know I'm thinking about them. It's changed a little bit the last few years. Everybody has those Ring doorbell cameras now.
Right.
So I think that's really fun.
They can actually see you do a silly dance or something crazy.
I ring that doorbell and I leave them a little message and I say something funny and they get a kick out of that. For a while, I would do a Christmas ornament every year. The best is when people are putting up those Christmas trees the day after Thanksgiving, they were sending me pictures of their Christmas tree with my ornaments on the tree.
Nice.
And that meant a whole lot to me. Just silly things, like when stamps go up, a lot of people don't have that extra 1 or 2 cent stamp to attach to their old stamps. Now they have forever stamps.
Right.
But back in the day, that wasn't the case. I remember just dropping off 1 cent stamps to people saying, hey, you might need this. Christmas time, I would just leave rolls of wrapping paper at people's doorsteps and, you know, saying, hey, wrapping up another good year. Let me know if you have anybody that wants to buy or sell.
I love that.
Yeah, just silly little things.
And it's not about the cost of it. It's just about the intention and the message and just your being there for them. I love it. I love it. I love the 1 cent stamp thing because it's like,
no one
it's
had
something
those.
So simple.
Yeah.
And it's something that doesn't cost you a lot of money to do, but you're thinking about them in that sense.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you know, they just said, you were thinking about us and we were thinking about you too. You know, we haven't caught up in a while. Let's catch up. So hence more coffee.
Yeah, I love that. And you're also doing something too, because when I came to your office, the whole table was covered with prizes. So
yes.
Tell us about the prize table.
Yes, I have a prize table in my office. Every year for my real estate anniversary, I like to give back to the community. This community, of course, has supported me so greatly. When I ask people to share my listings, they've shared my listings. They've shared my contact with their friends and family. So on the anniversary date, I usually announce a contest. And one year the contest was just funny questions and people had to answer a funny question about me, like what's my favorite cookie? What's my favorite color? What's my dog's name? How old is my dog? What's my son's football number? Things like that. And the first person to respond with a correct answer would get a prize.
Nice.
Well, this year, to make it last a little longer, I have been purchasing little presents for months and I wrap them up and it's just funny little gifts just to say thank you. And I'll pop on every day, a few times a day, and ask people to share a listing. And then whoever shared that listing, I just draw a name and give a prize to them and they come on over. And again, I get to visit with my clients and people that maybe aren't my clients, but hopefully will be my clients in the near future.
Right.
Yeah. They stop in at the office, we visit, they pick a prize, and I still have a lot of prizes on that table left.
Yeah.
So y'all tune into my Facebook page.
Yeah. And I love it because you're getting like crazy responses on just like an average home, right? Like
yes.
You showed me the likes and the shares on this one that you were doing. I was like, that is crazy. The amount of shares that you got on that.
It's crazy. Over 100 shares.
And your people are getting exposure on their property, which is it's a win-win.
Yeah, they're so excited about it. They just can't believe, you know, you can pay for an ad on Facebook and spend a lot of money and only get a couple of shares.
Right.
You know, and this is just a win-win for me too, because I love giving back.
Nice. So talk to us a little bit about that too. You talk a lot about the community, but what does it look like for you to invest in your community? You talk about investing, but what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so it's very important for me to help this community in any respect that I can. I am a lover of old homes. This office space here is over 100 years old. I remember riding my bike in front of this building as a child saying one day I really I really want to own that house.
Nice.
And when it came up for sale, this street here, Reese Street, is the gateway to our community. This is our main drag here in town. And it leads people to our beautiful bridge and all this community has to offer. And I really wanted to pick up a property on this street and revamp it. Most of my advertising dollars, you won't see me spending money on a whole lot of, I don't buy leads. So right. You'll never see me spend money buying a lead. I don't normally spend money in magazines. Every once in a while, I'll throw an ad out there at my client's request, but I like to invest in this community. I'm on the board for Baysci, which is our parks, our public baseball, t-ball association. And so I always sponsor a team there, one in remembrance of my dad, because he was big. He was very monumental in getting that park up and running when he was a councilman in this area. So I always support a t-ball team.
Nice.
In my dad's name, Tanny's Tigers. And then I played softball. We had our first girls softball team in Brobridge when I was 9 years old. So I played on the first girls softball team. So I always sponsor a softball team also. If there's not a softball team that year, I'll do two little league teams.
Nice.
So in schools, I will donate money to schools for just about anything, any sport. And another thing that I'm really passionate about is the Tesh Center for the Arts here in Brobridge. We have a facility that is going through a massive remodel right now, and that building has host artists from our community, musicians, painters, just any type of artists. We showcase them in that building. It's located right there on Bridge in town, across the street from St. Bernard Elementary School. And also the last organization that I'm, two more organizations I'm really passionate about, is our Council on Aging. A lot of times our elderly in our communities, they get overlooked. And our Council on Aging provides Meals on Wheels. So I'm a big proponent to donating to the Council on Aging.
Nice.
And also Redbird Ministries. A friend of mine who was a fellow realtor, she was a friend turned client turned realtor, has an organization called Redbird Ministries where they support families of child loss. And there is no other program in our community, in our diocese, that works that hard to really take these families in and support them through that loss. And so those organizations are very passionate to me, and I'm all about supporting where we live, you know, shopping local. People will travel all over the place to shop, but we have amazing places right here in this little town that I can find just about anything I need.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and that's a similar, you hear that with other top producers who have their towns that they really just love on and they support. So another, it's a similar theme too from other top producers. So if people are listening to this, I always say, hey, it's a similar theme. It's working for them. Invest in your local community. And I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? Somebody gets supported. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's amazing that y'all are doing that.
And so those people will support you. They will carry you through the roughest of times. An agent, when I was first starting out, said, you need to broaden your horizons. You can't make it in a small town selling real estate. And I said, I can. I will.
Yeah.
You know, and I did. And I love it here. This is home. This is home to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we're kind of wrapping it up, just tell us one more thing maybe that you would tell to other agents that may be listening, to give them a little bit of encouragement, especially 2024. We're going through a crazy year. So give us a little encouragement. What would you do if you were an agent listening that's looking to grow their business, or maybe they're in a feeling like they're in a funk right now? What would you tell them?
Well, first, I want them to know they're not alone. They're not alone. They need to reach out. If they're struggling, they need to approach an agent that maybe has a little bit more experience in the business. I've never had an agent say, no, I'm not going to help you.
Right.
Ever. At the end of the day, we're here to help each other and support each other. I would tell them, you know what? Don't make it about real estate. Make it about community. Get out in your community and do good by others. When you're out there and people see you out there, they're going to want to do business with someone like you, but right. be genuine with it. You know, support causes you believe in. You will meet new people. Go to the local food pantry, work there, you know, but just do good and good will come back to you.
Yeah. I love that. That's so awesome. Yeah. Cause I mean, definitely people need to really just focus on just doing the right thing
and doing the right thing
and being out in the community and doing everything that they can to support their clients and their,
yes,
their community. So that's so awesome that you have that mindset.
Times are tough, but so are we. I mean, as a realtor, we have weathered many, many storms. This market has never been a straight line. There's a lot of peaks and valleys, and just be there for it. Embrace whether you're at the top of your game or the bottom of your game. You know, what goes down can be brought back up with a little work.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being open and honest and sharing your story with people. I think it's going to be so connecting to other people who have that similar struggle. But everything you've shared about the way you've leveled up your business, the way that you connect with your clients, the way that you support your community, all those things are going to help level up other realtors who are listening. So I appreciate you being vulnerable to share your story and just such a vocal person in the community and everything else. So we love you. And I know I can say this for every realtor that I've ever said your name to. We all love you and we all support you.
Oh, I love you
guys. We're cheering for you here locally. So thank you so much for sharing
your story.
Thank
you so much. I appreciate you coming and visit with me today.
Yep. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. So if we can ever do anything for you, I can say that for myself. If I can ever do anything for you, please do not hesitate to reach out. I know Brandy would say the same thing.
I would love for people to reach out. If you need anything, any questions, call, stop in, visit. I always have coffee.
Awesome. Coffee's always on.
It's always on.
Beautiful. I love it. So sounds great. I appreciate you guys listening into the podcast, and I hope that you have an amazing day.